All right, good evening.
Good evening.
Have y'all in Colossians 4, two verses. I would say this passage is relevant for every single day of yours and my Christian life. We'll read those two verses. Paul writes, and this is really in the close of this letter, he says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace." That's a present active imperative. Both of them actually are. Present active imperative, meaning that it's a present active command that is to be always. So walk in wisdom always. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man or every woman, obviously. Let's pray. Father, please help us, Lord, for these few moments. I pray, Father, that we would not only know Christ, but that we would live Christ in the world, and that we would have testimonies that would provoke the minds of those that know us, who are outside of Christ, to desire to seek Christ themselves. Father, I pray that, Father, the world would not so much see the goodness that's in us, but they would see the goodness that is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we desire. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to us who know the Word of God, meaning that we should not only, if we know it, then have you ever heard somebody say, well, this person is well read in the Scriptures? Well read, meaning that you're informed, you understand a lot of things about the truth of God's Word. So to know the Word of God and to understand it, to be able to speak about the things that you believe from God's Word, is essential if you would walk in wisdom. Wisdom, obviously, when I say that word tonight, it's the wisdom that is from God. So it's essential that you know the Word of God if you would walk in wisdom. But what is of equal importance, and I might argue of greater importance, is do you live and practice what you know to be true from God's Word? And so it's not just do you know it. There are a lot of folks that know it. But do you live it and practice it? And that's what Paul speaks of when he says, walk in wisdom. See, it's good to have knowledge and to be well read in the Word. It's better when the truth of God's Word is well lived in your life. So it's good to be well read. But to be well read and not to live what you know and believe from God's Word, well, I'll make a comment about that later. This past Sunday, we learned from the wisdom and example of Christ by him remaining silent in his sufferings, only speaking at the right time. In fact, in Proverbs 26, 4 and 5, the wise man there, Solomon, says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits." And the very next verse says, "Answer a fool according to his folly." Or answer not a fool according to his folly. Let me just quote it because I'm misquoting it here. Proverbs 26, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him." Verse 5, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits." And so Jesus knew when to answer, he knew what to answer, and he knew when to be silent. So that was by and his wisdom, and Jesus was wisdom personified. This evening, for a few minutes, let us learn from what Paul wrote to the saints at Colossae about our Christian walk, or our Christian life, how it should look, and our Christian talk. So first, walk, or you might say live in wisdom, live by wisdom, or live by the wisdom of God. When it says walk, the Christian life is talking about live. It's not talking about the actual exercise of walking. So first it helps to know what is wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom begins, if you would have true wisdom from God, it begins with fear. The fear, or that word fear doesn't mean afraid fear, it means reverence or high esteem of God. That you honor God in your own heart and life. Psalm 111, the psalmist says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, that's not the only place that the scriptures say that. So that teaches us that wisdom begins with reverence of God. You cannot have true wisdom. It's not possible that you would truly be wise, as per the Holy Scriptures, unless you honor God. Because a wise man, since he or she honors God, they will obey the truths of God. They will live the truths of God so that God might be honored in their lives. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, turn to Job 28:28. Job further defines wisdom for us. In Job chapter 28 and verse 28, just one passage there. So, walk in wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, we know it begins with revering God, honoring God. And those that honor God should desire to honor God by obeying God, by keeping his precepts, his statutes. Job 28:28. Of course, earlier in verse 20 of that chapter, it's written there, whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? And here in verse 28, it says, unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And he further defines it here. And to depart from evil is understanding. That word understanding means discernment or to be made wise. So someone who is wise will depart from evil. In fact, the Bible says a prudent man, prudent meaning wise, practically wise. Prudent means practically wise. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. But the simple or the foolish pass on and are punished. And so there's a difference between being wise and not being wise. Now, turn to James 3:13. James gives us the character of one who is wise. Or you might say this, James tells us what wisdom looks like in the life of one that has it. What does it look like? And I'm only going to a few passages. There's many places that we could go, but for the sake of time, we'll look at these three, and that's it. In James chapter 3 and verse 13, James says, who is a wise man or woman? Or what does a wise Christian look like? So who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Endued with knowledge means they are intelligent in the things of God. They are experienced and they practice the truths of God. That's wisdom is not that you know a bunch of stuff. Wisdom is that you practice what you know in your life. As Christians, we should practice what we know. If we profess that we love God and we honor God and we believe in God, then in our lives, when we're going about our day, in what we do with our hands, where we go with our feet, and what we say with our mouths, what we listen to with our ears, it will reflect that we do fear the Lord and that we do honor God. So he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. That's not necessarily speaking of speaking. It means conduct. Let him show from his conduct and his behavior, his works with meekness of wisdom, with a mild disposition and in the practice of godliness. But here's the contrast. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, and that's something that we also must know, there is a wisdom that comes from beneath. And this is it. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, or natural, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, or that is from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, that is willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That means impartial and sincere. So James gives us a picture of what a godly man looks like in character. That's how we'll behave if we're wise. We'll be gentle, easy to be entreated, easy to talk to. We'll be listeners, swift to hear, slow to speak. The Bible says, a fool is known by many words, but a wise man refrains. And so there's a lot of keys to wisdom that the Bible teaches us. And so James teaches us this. And then Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There must be copious amounts of the word inside of you. If you would be wise in your life, you must be well read in the scriptures. You must continue to be well read. You must be filling and nourishing your soul in the truth of God's word in your mind. But that's not wisdom alone, simply filling yourself up with the word. You need to practice it. And you need to, as we'll see in a moment, you need to ask God for wisdom. I mean, that's the supernatural part. You don't just become wise. Listen, the Bible, and I have to tell myself this, the Bible's not simply a textbook that you read and comply with, and then you're blessed of God. No, the Bible is God's word, and God's word is alive, and we need God to activate that word in us and make it effectual. There's a supernatural aspect to your Christian life, and you need to know that. Your life is a life of faith in Christ, faith in God. And so let the word of Christ, these are the things that we're called to do. Let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So do these things. So if you're walking and living in wisdom that is from God, it will be obvious in how you conduct yourself in your daily life, in your decisions, in the company you keep, in how you speak or don't speak, in where you go or where you won't go. Wisdom from God will equip you with godly carefulness, spiritual foresight, and hatred of falling into sin. Of course, Proverbs 14:5, look there, a few short passages. So wisdom that is from God will equip you with godly carefulness. And what's the carefulness for? Well, carefulness not to dishonor the name of God. Carefulness to honor the name of God. Spiritual foresight. What do I mean by spiritual foresight? In other words, you're wise enough to know. If you read the Proverbs, you remember the simple man that was going to go down the street where the harlot was? And he went down her street and she got him. He walked right into the snare. Well, the wise man says, don't even go down the street if you know that that's down there. And so we need to know there's certain places and things that we shouldn't listen to, hear, or even go. So that's what I mean by spiritual foresight. And actually, in Proverbs 14:5 there, if you're there, that's not the passage. Well, 22:3. Go to 22:3. Well, that's bad. I typed the wrong reference in. 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. In other words, he avoids it. But the simple pass on and are punished. And that passage was in 14:15 of the Proverbs. Chapter 14 and verse 15. The simple believe every word. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. The prudent man looketh well to his going. Now, prudent means practically wise. Practically wise. In other words, in what you do. But also what is essential, if you would be wise, you must ask God for wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, you can't just ask God for wisdom and not fill your heart and mind with the word. They're both, they must be coupled together. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men and women liberally, those that ask him, nothing wavering. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So, beloved, fill yourself up with the truths of God's word. Practice the truths of God's word. Then ask God to help. Lord, make me wise. I need wisdom. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So when you've studied the word and asked God for wisdom from the word, then you must obey and practice what God has taught you from the word. And that is how you will learn to walk in wisdom in your life, to be godly and practically wise. Now, Paul throws a wrinkle into it now. Walk in wisdom, which we ought to do at all times, but now he adds something towards them that are without, out there. It's easier to walk in wisdom in here. It's easier to come into a fellowship. You can kind of let your guard down. But Paul says, walk or live God's wisdom toward or in the midst of them that are without. So it's easier, again, to walk and live by God's wisdom and word when you're with the saints. But what Paul is commanding us to do is when we're not with the saints, but rather when you're in the world, when you're doing business with strangers and outsiders and unbelievers in the world, when you're with lost family members, when you're in the checkout line, when you're at work. And this is when your godliness and wisdom should be obvious. And listen, the more we cultivate the truth of God's word in our hearts, the more we walk in God's truth, it ought to be more apparent and obvious that we're not of this world, beloved, when we walk in the wisdom of God. We shouldn't think like the world. Listen, I'll give you a perfect example of how things happen in business. And I've bought and sold a number of cars. And I can't tell you how many times when I sold a car, the person that was buying it said, can you just put like $500 on there so I won't have to pay all the tax? And I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I've even been on the other end of it and said, I'll just put like $250 on there so you don't have to pay as much tax. And I said, please don't. But listen, when it's just you and the guy there, we need to be careful. That's a temptation that'll come to us. And that wisdom descendeth not from above. So we need to be careful, beloved, in our business dealings. Listen, those that are without should see Christ in you and in me. They should see it in your conduct, in your conversation, how you speak, what you say, what you don't say, in your business dealings, but also in how you react or don't react and respond to difficult situations or don't respond when everything turns sideways, when everything just falls apart, there's a big meltdown. People are watching you. They're watching me. So walk in wisdom toward those that are without. Paul said this to the Thessalonians. He said that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. That's part of your witness. In fact, it's in my mind, it's the strongest part of your witness. Because if I live like the world in front of my company that I work with or company with in the world, and then one day I turn around and tell them, hey, you need to believe in Christ and turn from your sins to Christ, I'll get laughed off. And people won't respect my verbal witness if my living witness is full of sin and wickedness. And so, beloved, that's very important. So that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. For a pastor, and you know, we might look at this, pastor's qualifications. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without. Without, those that are without means outsiders. Now, you know, you might say, well, I'm not a preacher, so it doesn't apply to me. Well, do you want to have a bad report of them that without? No. No, it's one of the qualifications, but it ought to be something that we all desire. A personal statement from the Apostle John in 3 John, verse 12, John wrote, Demetrius hath a good report of all men. Everyone that knew him said he's a good man. And of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, John said, that that's true. And you know that our record is true. So walk in wisdom all the time, but more specific to the point, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And listen, them that are without includes those that live within our little personal society, like family. I mean, we need to walk in wisdom. They need to see Christ in us. Now, next, if you live the truths of God and walk in wisdom toward those that are without, when it comes time to speak to them about Christ, they will be more inclined to respect your words because they see your life. See, people are more inclined to listen to you if they see how you live. Now, I'm not saying that that's the X factor and they're going to listen to you. Many times they won't, but at least they'll have no evil thing to say to you. Peter says that. They'll see. They may not want to hear your witness, but you know what? You have what appears to be real. What you have appears to be real. Listen, to know the word but not live it is to be a practical atheist. To know the word and not live it. I believe in the God of the scriptures, but when I act in the world and how I behave in my life, I do it as if there is no God. That's what practical atheism is. It's like you know everything and you believe everything, but in your conduct and your conversation and how you live as if there is no God. Remember, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, and then to fear God is to be wise. And so remember that. Now, the second part, let your speech be always with grace. Now you say, well, hey, you skipped redeeming the time. That's at the end. He says, let your speech be always with grace. And listen, speaking is how we are social. We're social by our speaking. Let your speech be always with grace, always seasoned with salt. You ought to have salty speech. Your speech ought to stimulate people. Salt stimulates. My wife puts a ton of salt on French fries. I mean, a ton of salt. Talk about stimulate. Well, we ought to be salty Christians, brethren. And so, season with salt that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So every time we speak, think about this. Every time you speak, you're giving your testimony. Our words as Christians should be gracious, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt meaning, now what does salt do? If you eat a bunch of salty stuff, what's the effect of that afterwards? You get thirsty. You want to drink. So your life ought to make other people thirst for what you have. And so we ought to have salty lives. The word seasoned here means prepared. So let your speech be with grace, seasoned, prepared speech. The word grace speaks of God's influence upon the heart in those who have it, in those that he saves. We hear that grace defined as unmerited favor, but it also is, it's God's influence upon the heart in those whom he saves, but also grace is the reflection or effect of what God has done in the heart. It's of what God has done in the heart of the one to whom it has been given. I love what this passage says about Christ in Luke. Just listen. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. I would have loved to have heard the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard the Sermon on the Mount? I'd have loved to have heard him speak. So all bear him witness, they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Nothing else could come from the mouth of the Lord Jesus but gracious words. We have to guard against that. That's why the command here, let your speech, it's a command, let your speech be always with grace. As far as the Lord Jesus, never a man spake like this man, and never again shall any man speak like this man. But now for us, beloved, if God has saved you by his grace, it stands to reason that your speech and your conversation should be seasoned with grace. Your words should be becoming saltier and more seasoned in all of your affairs and your relationships in your life. We should be preparing ourselves in the Word so that we may prepare ourselves before we say anything. Listen, we must study and obey the word if we would speak and converse graciously in every circumstance. Maurice Roberts, I love his book. It's called The Thought of God. He said, the tone of a Christian's conversation gives us a fair idea of how sanctified he is, and if I might add, how wise he is. Now, let me give you a few passages on our speaking. Ecclesiastes 10:12, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10 and verse 12. And this goes right along with Colossians 4 and verse 6. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the contrast, the lips of a fool will swallow him up. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? In other words, so when we cultivate godly wisdom in our lives, if we're apt to talk too much, God will teach us that we need to listen more and talk less. In fact, Solomon also wrote, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Meaning, in the multitude of words, the more you speak, the more you're going to sin. So he says, let your words be few. Proverbs 10:13, just a few more references. Proverbs 10 and verse 13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But the rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And then verse 19 of the same chapter, there's that passage, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many. That should be you and me. But fools die for want of wisdom. Your words should be stimulating, like salt. When you speak, it ought to prick the understanding of those that hear you. In fact, just listen, this is Solomon in Ecclesiastes. The words of the wise are as goads. You know what a goad is? It's like a pointy stick. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. So your words should speak to others. We need to be careful about speaking idle words. Again, Solomon speaks, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. That's part of wisdom. We know that, should I say this or should I not say this? And so our speech should be seasoned with grace. And then in Titus, one New Testament reference, Titus 2:8, if you want to turn there. And this is specifically written to young men, but it's obviously we're all qualified for it. He says, sound speech, that should be how we speak, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You know, a lot of times people might get angry at us, or they might have something evil to say about us because of what we've said. Because of what we've said. And you know what? They might be right. Paul told the Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. Beloved, that needs to be us. You know what your mom always said, right? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. I don't know if your mama said that, but it's a good saying. Now, there is speaking with wisdom, and then finally, there is knowing how to answer everyone. We need to know how to answer. We need to know when it's time to not answer. And we saw some of that in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I realize some of that's restricted to him, but Proverbs 15:28, just a few passages, and we'll be done. Proverbs 15:28, the book of the Proverbs. There's so much to be learned, so much written about speaking and talking. I love Proverbs 15:1. I learned from that passage so much from my own personal life. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. But how do we answer? Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies to answer. It's better to say, I don't really know. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil. 16:23, you're right there. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. 17:27 of the Proverbs. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Ecclesiastes 5:2, you don't have to turn there. Solomon wrote there, be not rash with thy mouth. Don't be so ready to answer. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. James says, let everyone among you be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And then finally, 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Peter writes, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And then finally, redeem the time. Don't waste the time that God has given you, which is now, but make the best use of it for his honor and for his glory. Redeem the time means buy it up. And use every opportunity that God gives you. Don't waste the time that God has given you. This is very practical for our everyday Christian lives. In Galatians, Paul wrote this, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As you have therefore opportunity, That word opportunity means as you have a season, when God gives you time and a season to do something for his glory and for his honor, he said, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. And then Solomon, finally, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, he says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Beloved, that's what we're called to do when we go out into the world, when we leave here. Walk in wisdom toward those that are without. You are a living witness. Many people will never read the word of God, but they'll read you. So walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. This is the one that needs the most exercise, I can tell you. It needs the most exercise in all of us. Don't be a reactionary answerer. Be one that refrains and thinks before he or she answers. The heart of the righteous studies to answer. Listen, one of the things that convicts me so much when I think about it, and I need to think about it more, is this. The Bible says that every one of us will give an account for every idle word spoken. Idle, you know what idle words are? Mm-hmm. It's stuff that we say that profits no one. It's idle, it's worthless. Beloved, I don't want to speak worthless words. Set a watch, O Lord, Psalm 141 says. Set a watch, O Lord, on this thing. An old master chief in the Navy said, we have teeth and lips. We have two doors to shut our mouths. We need to learn how to keep them shut. We have two eyes and one mouth. We ought to be seeing, two ears. We ought to be listening twice as much as we're speaking. So, but again, when we do answer, and beloved, we don't want to just be mute in the world. We have what the world needs to hear, and they need to hear it, and they need to see it in our lives. And so, beloved, let us go forth and let us be that light that shines in the world. Let us be salty salt. Let us stimulate people with our lives. And listen, God deserves all the glory for it. But beloved, this takes work, spiritual work, work in prayer, practice, practical work. And beloved, that's how we'll walk in wisdom toward those that are without. Amen. Let's dismiss. Lord, we pray that you would help us. Father, the worst thing for any of us, Lord, would be to walk out and profess that we're believers in Christ and then in our lives not represent him the way we should, to not honor his name. And Father, one of the ways that people know us is by how we speak, what we say, our conversation. And Father, if we're quiet and people never hear us, they don't really know us. And Father, we want them to know us, but more than that, we want them to know our Christ. We want them to know Christ, the one that we love, the one who's changed us. Now, Lord, none of us are sinless. And Father, we struggle oftentimes with besetting sins. But Father, teach us the government of the tongue. Lord, teach us what to say, when to say it, how to say it. Father, teach us to walk in the world among those that don't believe with wisdom, with the wisdom that is from above. Let them see our silent conduct as honoring to you. Lord, we pray for this, Lord. Burden us with this, Father. I pray that it would always be as a frontlet before our eyes. Oh God, help us. Help us with your grace. We need your grace. We need your help, oh God. This Christian life cannot be lived without you, oh God. And so we pray for your strength. Father, we pray that you would undergird us We pray that you would make every single word of this passage effectual in us. Oh God, forgive us where we have failed. And Lord, help us now to go forth and, as you told the woman taken in adultery, you said, go and sin no more. Father, we should want to rise from every prayer of confession of sin to do just that. And so help us. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.